If you're in the 127th Psalms, we're going to read the five verses here and ask God to move in our midst tonight. So I want to call it out. This is a Song of Degrees for Solomon, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the house, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. In verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And happy is the man that hath a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak in the with enemies in the gate. Let's pray this evening. Lord, I just thank you for the privilege to be here with Bible Way Baptist Church. God, I just pray that you'll just take this message, as simple as it is, and just, Lord, just amplify it, that Jesus might be glorified, that each one of us, Lord, might just walk from here with a purpose, with a desire in our heart to do the very best that we can for you when it comes to our children, when it comes to our grandchildren, when it comes to our families, when it comes to those children that you place in our life. God, we live in such a dark world today. We're not going to sugarcoat that or shun that position, Lord, that the world is just getting darker by the minute. But, Lord, the candle gets brighter as the world gets darker. Help us, Lord, to be what you've called us to be. And, Lord, help us to apply this scripture to our hearts tonight. These things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. And you might be seated. So the making of an arrow. You begin to look at this, and this was really a psalm of David that was written to Solomon. And when you think about the writer, David was known for many things, but sometimes we forget that David was a man of war. David was a man who knew what it was to go into combat with a purpose to try to defeat an enemy. He knew what it was. Brother Vinoy gave a great message on Sunday talking about David and his family being abducted and the discouragement and the people that were with him. You know, a third of them fell behind and some of the rest wanted to blame David. David knew what it was to risk everything that he might protect and be able to address the needs of his family. And he was writing to his precious son here, Solomon. And I believe he was telling Solomon some things that he would need to know later on in life. In this psalm, David calls out the blessings of God for children, the rest that God gives to his people, security that can only be really had in a relationship and understanding with God. And I believe that this psalm was drawn from David's own experiences and the wisdom that he wanted to pass on to a beloved son. Now, I look around tonight, and I see we have parents, and I was giving Miss Jennifer a hard time. We have grandparents, that are and to be soon, and we have, parents-to-be with Rusty and Hannah back there. And, you know, and some of the kids that we have in our life are pretty small. And then, Brother Michael, sometimes God puts kids in our life. They're not real small, but they're still very tender, and we're able to make a huge influence in their life. And we begin to look at this, and David calls out what a blessing it is that God gives us families. Now, if you look at most of the world around you today, and you read the news and what have you, what is it that they place their greatest values on? It's usually something that's financial. Do you live in this neighborhood? Do you drive a car of this type? Do you have this much money in the bank? Do you vacation at this place? Whatever metric you want to use, the world puts a lot more emphasis in painting a picture of success and happiness if you have certain financial numbers than if you have certain relationships and the quality of them. But I'm going to tell you that there is no greater relationship that we'll ever have than the one we have with Jesus Christ. Brother Vinoy is at the youth camp, and he's with the kids, and he said, I think it's okay, he's going to see this, so I will get feedback on this. But he shared with me today that one of the young people came up to him and said to him, Brother Gary, he said, thank you for making this possible, that I could come to this camp and have this experience. This church has invested in those kids. They're not all our kids, they're associated with the church and what have you, but sometimes they're not direct family. But we put a huge emphasis on that and helping them to understand that relationship that they need to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. Jesus leads. Jesus improves. Jesus comforts. And as we spread the gospel message to the little ones that were here last week in my class with Sure Foundations and Brother Gary with the auditorium class and what have you, we need to help them understand that first and most important of anything in their life is not how much money they have, not the position that they have in life, not the title they have, but who they are in Christ Jesus. If they can get that rooted and anchored, then there is hope. So David talks about the things that God can do in a life. He talks about the blessings to the saved that God has provided. As I was preparing for this message, and I actually thought I might go a different way, and God led me back to it, I thought about three unique things that I saw happen this week in relationship to young people and the relationship with God. The first is the Vacation Bible School. Someone asked me, Brother Gary, they said, how many are we going to have? I said 120. I was half right. You take two nights together, I got there. But you know, it wasn't about the number. It was about the quality. And I'm telling you, the kids came through, and a lot of them, you know, Brother Jason, you and Miss Abby and Kenny, you guys, you did just a great job of picking those kids up. And I'm going to tell you, those kids, some of them were just the nicest, politest kids you had ever seen in your life. I saw a little guy stand, and he waited politely to get a cookie. You know, now the cookies were right in front of him, but the ladies that were serving, you know, they didn't see him standing there, right? So they weren't ignoring him. They didn't know he was there. And I watched all this, Miss Jennifer. That's what I do. I'm a watcher. I watched, and he was there polite. He could have very easily just turned and walked away. He waited until he had face contact and said, may I have another cookie? It was a blessing to see these kids on this campus getting the Word of God sown in their heart. Hey, I don't know what gets you excited. To me, it's not Wall Street, and it's not, well, actually, the news does get me excited, but not in a good way. But what gets me excited is when I see these kids come in, and they say, tell me the story of Jesus. And God begins to work in that young heart. I saw that in Vacation Bible School this week. I saw that this week, and Brother Junior was kind to ask about it, when we went to the Riverside Baptism down the street from Wayne and Carol on Sunday. Now, we didn't know what to expect, Brother Gary. I mean, you know, hey, you announced we're going to have a Riverside baptism, and I don't, you know, not real familiar with that process. And we didn't get a head count. But, Cindy, I bet there were 100 people there. Brother Gary, 14 churches that were there. We had several that were baptized in the river. And what amazed me, Brother Gary, is I looked around how many young people were there. Brother Bill's grandson got baptized. Very sweet experience. And I got to tell this, I was asked to help Darthula baptize by Brother Layton. We had the first little guy came up, and he was about that big, and you know, we were out in the water, and we baptized him. The next one comes up, and he's about that big, and we baptized him. The next guy comes off, and his shoulders were that wide, and he was about that tall. And Brother Gary, my response was, we need to move back. So we backed up in the water, and I didn't go home with any dry clothes after that. I had abandoned that. But I wanted to say this, Brother Gary. I was so excited because the young man that they had asked to preach, Brother Jeremy, a pastor there in the Hilton's area, he was such a blessing. And you look around, and there's Layton and myself and Brother Larry Browder, and, you know, we're kind of oldish. And all these were new and shiny and young and on fire for God. And it was a blessing to see what God was doing in these hearts. Now, sometimes we look around, we say, well, you know, that church needs a pastor, and that congregation's older and what have you. Well, first of all, that's not a crime. That's just what happens in life. But this week I was thinking about how good God is, that He continues to supply the need. He answers prayers. And David talked about the blessings that God Himself can give to those that He loves. And then the third thing that was an encouragement to me this week, is I had a one-on-one conversation with a lady, there's a person in her family we both know, and he's not walking with the Lord. He's wayward. You know, he's the prodigal son, as it were, that has went his way. And nobody forgot him, Brother Gary. People praying for him that he'll come back and he'll kneel at the cross of Calvary and make his life right. The gospel is still changing hearts. And the message of God is still of that redeems. And David, who was this warrior, understood that there were certain things that you could do through war, but there were also certain things that had to be done through the power of God. David points out to his young son Solomon at this point the importance of relationships, the importance of valuing your children, as it were. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to take a little bit of a sidetrack, so you forgive me, but I'm telling you that we live in a day today where our relationships have made us, we are vulnerable in our relationships. Say amen. Somebody that you don't know, could take money from you. And Brother Vinoy talked about people breaking into his house and years ago, and that's terrible, and that's a violation. No one wants to go through that. But I'm going to tell you the pain that comes from a broken heart, from being betrayed, from seeing someone that you love destroy themselves through stupid choices they make, that is terrible. Amen? None of us wants to experience that in life. I look around and I think about how many great children that God has allowed to grow up over time in this church, and how God's been good to us. Doesn't always work out like that. In fact, some of the great men in the Bible, great people in the Word of God that we look at, Job, David, Isaac, with Esau, they all suffered these broken relationships. They loved their children, and they did what they could for them, and they put the right things in front of them, and sometimes the kids still went a way that wasn't pleasing to God. So I want you to see just three simple things this evening, talking about God's blessings and talking about this idea of arrows. Verse 3, the children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. I would say amen to that. And the first thing I'm going to tell you tonight in context with that, and I know it seems intuitively obvious and maybe it's just stupidly simple, but I'm telling you, folks, we've got to get to the place where we love our children. Let me say that again. We need to love our children. We need to do it in the biblical sense, and we need to do it in the way that we are committed to them. Now, you may think, well, Steve, you don't know my kids. Well, I'm going to tell you that nobody is perfect. No family's perfect. There's always the opportunity for people to do things that others don't like. But our children are blessings, not burdens. And one of the issues that we have so much trouble in the U.S., and let me look right back at those cameras, the way that we've messed up is that we've got so many broken families. We've got parents, and listen, I don't care. Some guy gets old enough and he's able to physically father a child. It doesn't make him a father. Somebody say amen. He's got to buy into that. He has got to foster that relationship and step in and be the dad that God has called him to be. We need to love our children, and I believe that one of the greatest examples that was ever given to us in all of the Word of God is when God Himself looked down upon Jesus, His precious blood, His precious Son, whose precious blood has cleansed us from all our sins, and looked upon Him, and at the time of His baptism and another occasion, looked down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." You know why the gospel works? Because we know that God loves His Son, that Jesus was perfect in everything that He did. He came the spotless lamb, the sacrifice that was slain from the beginning of the world. Amen? And God gave us a great example of what it looks like to love your Son. Now you imagine how much God loved His Son, and Brother Gary, He allowed Him to suffer and to die and to be ridiculed and to be tortured upon the cross of Calvary, that He would die for our sins. That's an amazing love that God had, that He was able to sacrifice His own Son that we might have eternal life. Well, I believe that as God loved His Son, we are expected to love our children with a commitment and with an interest and with a desire to see them prosper that is evident in the world around us today. I think three elements of love I would call out. The first is we need to have a genuine concern for our kids. Let me not hold back. I love so much our school teachers. We've got great teachers in this church and other people I know. But folks, you can't send your kids to school and expect them to just work things out. We have to have a concern about the path that they're on, right? You have to have interest in them. You have to have time that you commit to them, and you have to pour yourself into those relationships. It was kind of funny, as we were getting ready to come to church, Chloe was telling me something, and I was trying to help Chloe. And Chloe said, "This is another one of those learning experiences, isn't it?" And yes, and we worked through that. And she was right, and she just wanted to tell me about something. I was being overly helpful. But I'm being overly helpful because I love Chloe, and I want her to be the best version. I was trying to help her solve a problem. I don't do that because I'm, you know, got all the answers, but because I'm concerned about her well-being. We need to invest time in our kids. And I got to tell you, I am not going to get Father of the Year award. I probably won't ever do that. But putting time into our kids is really, really, really important. You know, maybe it's the right amount of time. Maybe you go play baseball with them or take them fishing. Maybe you read the Bible. Maybe you talk on the way to church, what have you. But we need to show our kids that they're important to us and that we want the best outcome for their life. We want them to follow the path and the purpose that God has put before them. Brother Gary, it was several years ago, I was called to do a thing, and it was when I was working full-time, and it was a training session. And Brother Michael, you may have had it, some of the others may have had it, but it talks about personality types. And it talks about, you know, this person values these things, and this is what's important to them. And this person, and there are four different types. And you know, it was such an eye-opening experience because, Brother Gary, I realized at that point I didn't understand my kids. They're not like me in so many ways. And by the way, your kids aren't going to be exactly like you. That's good and that's bad. You know, if you can blame it on the other spouse, right? You know, they get all that bad stuff from you. In our household, maybe that's true. They do get all the bad stuff from me. But I'm going to tell you that you need to invest time and love on your children so that you understand who they are and what's important to them. And I miss that, you know, when Logan was small. Maybe you, some of you, I wouldn't ask you to say amen, but you understand what I'm saying, that you get older and you see that the way that you did things, you would have done differently just a little bit if you could have reset that clock. Amen? You know what? There's a great thing. Miss Jennifer, Brother Jim, God gives us grandchildren. And we get to apply that learning. It's like, okay, I got a clean slate. Let's see if I can't do this. And I want to say right now, I love my wife, and I love my kids, and I love my grandson, and I want to pour the remaining days I have into showing them that love, helping them to seek God's guidance on how they might be the best person and how I might help them to nurture to that. Now, as I was getting ready for this sermon, I thought back to loving children. And I happen to think about this, Brother Gary. There are some kids that are just so easy to love. I mean, you know, they're just like a kitten with a bow on their neck. You know, you just want to show attention. I don't care if they're that big or, you know, that big. They're just easy to kind of cuddle up to. And then there's kids, and maybe some of y'all have this, or grandkids. They're just not quite that cuddly. In fact, maybe you'd call them prickly, as it were, because, you know, they're more like cactus than they are kittens. And my thought went back, and I think maybe this name maybe might bring back some memories. I'm looking back here at some of our ladies. Anybody remember Steve Chapman? Yeah? Some of y'all have, I saw the grimace there. You know? Steve Chapman is a wonderful young man. In fact, I looked his biography up today. He's a pastor today. And he's got five children. Brother Steve, he adopted, I think it was three children from overseas, and they were very special needs children. He said he's got, his bio said he's got two grandchildren and counting. But Steve self-described himself, and Bill and Mitzi, his parents, backed him up on this. Brother Gary is saying he was the meanest kid you'd ever seen in your life. Some of you ladies may have had him in Sunday school. Maybe you experienced that. Maybe you didn't. But he followed the path that God had set before him. And I'm telling you, today he set the bar high. The way that he serves God, the things that he's done, people poured love into him, Brother Gary. And there was a day where he, upon his knees, called upon Christ. And Christ came into his heart and brought the Holy Spirit with him, right? And what is it we say? That all things become new. The old man has passed away. That's what we want for our kids. And we're going to love on them. And we're going to show them that they're precious, not just to us, but also to the Word, to the Lord. And we're going to bury them just in the Word. I think as we love our children, there's a second aspect of that. David said, as arrows are, they're valuable, they're important, they're essential to a warrior. And he talked about the children being as arrows. Second thing I would point out to you is we have to train our children. Somebody say amen there. If you look at what the world is promoting out there and think that that the world's going to make your kids, you know, what they should be and all this, I'm going to push back on you. We have a son who is a great engineer. He's got a master's degree in engineering. He's very smart. He's good at math, what have you. Brother Gary, I could have never taught him that. He can get over my math. It looks like Greek hieroglyphics, you know, when he starts writing this stuff down. And he's very smart. I couldn't have taught him that. But you know what, Brother Gary? When he was little, we could teach him that Jesus loves him. This I know. We could show him in the Word of God. To this day, we can offer prayer for our kids. Is that important? I think it is. Now, I can't blame all this on COVID, and maybe I could, but I'm not going to. But do you realize, are you watching the news on the amount of anxiety and trouble and problems that are in the generation around us today? Our kids, and I don't care if they're 12 or if they're 40, they're living in a world today that's very complicated, that's bringing a lot of problems on them. And Brother Gary, I'm going to keep loving on my kids, and I'm going to teach them the things that I can teach them. And I'm going to show them, particularly my little grandson, everything I can about what God's Word says. In the book of John, the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse, John wrote this to the church. He said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." One of the things I've run into as we talk about training a child and working with children and grandchildren, working with people around us, is sometimes we're a little naive, and we want to see the very best in people, which is a good thing typically. And Brother Wayne, we fail to recognize the issue and the problem of sin and terrible choices. Brother Gary, I've had parents that, when I was a pastor, that came to me and they were very sincere, and particularly grandparents. And, you know, "I need for you to pray for Johnny. And Johnny has this situation. And, you know, and really Johnny's a good kid. And I want everything to be okay." The problem, Brother Gary, is that Johnny wasn't a good kid. Johnny was just as mean as could be. And he had the criminal record that went with that. We have to be careful when we try to help people, whether it's our family or somebody in the church, that we don't lay aside the truth just because we love them. What did John say here? He said, "I'm glad to hear, I have great joy that you're walking in the truth." I heard this many, many years ago, Brother David, but any time that truth and love are in conflict, truth must prevail. If you base everything just upon love, You'll try to recast the truth in a way that's convenient. Our responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as mentors, and whether you guys realize it or not, so many of you here, Brother Jason and Miss Abby and Michael and Kenny and Jerry, you know, the Sunday school teachers and what have you, you're mentoring kids. They're looking at you. They're listening to you. And, if we're having a really, really good day, they want to be just like you. Any responsibility there, pressure there? Sure there is. We interacted with little Sophie, Brother David, and she's such a sweetheart. And she's very fashionable, too, you know, like the glasses and all the color coordinating stuff. She's going to want to be just like you. She's going to want to be just like you in the family, right? That's what good looks like to her. We have to walk in the truth. We have to teach our kids, those around us, the Word of God and what it says about certain things. I've got 5 things I've written down here. If we were able to lead by example and we were able to put something into our kids' hearts, along with the gospel. The gospel has to be first. What were those things I'd love to see us be able to train our children up in? The ways that we were preparing these arrows for the purpose that God had before them. First is the Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. You begin to talk with people, and listen, you can get over my head theologically. That's not a challenge, you know. That's not a big thing. But I'm going to tell you, I will not shun away from the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. Let me look straight at the camera. God created this world and the condition it's in 6 days. There was a great flood one day, and it destroyed everybody except Noah and his family. Amen? Jesus is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. We can't explain that physically. But he died a sinless life. He lived sinlessly, died upon the cross at Calvary. You understand? That's the Bible. Jesus is coming back. He is going to come back, and he's going to take his church home, and he's going to turn this world over to the Antichrist for a time that they have never seen. Brother Wayne, I think about that. The Bible records that times have been real bad upon the earth. There have been times when mothers were cannibalistic towards their own children. You understand how bad that is? It's going to be far worse than that, Brother Gary. But we're not going to be here, the church. We're going home with Jesus. We need to teach our kids the Bible. Young man who preached at the Riverside, he said, we've got to the point where we're a little timid. He said, somebody will invite us out. I'm paraphrasing, but in this message, somebody will invite us out. You know, hey, how'd you like to go? And he said, well, got to go to church. You know, I'd go with you, but I got to go to church. His point, Brother Gary, was we need to stop backing up from the things that God has called us to do and said, hey, I'm going to church. Why don't you come with me? Right? Let's get some boldness about us. God has called us into his church. We are his, we're his light, his salt. We are the children of God, as it were. We ought to act like it, and we ought to be proud that God has given us his word. That we might understand him. Second thing out of these five, I would encourage us to teach our children, please don't anybody cringe. We need to get back to teaching some degree of masculinity. Somebody say amen there. You know, we've got a very feminine world around us. Hey, listen, I love ladies, you know, really important, what have you. But we need to teach the young guys to be men. Amen? That their role is what God has called them to be. And it is a specific role that's called out, and they're expected to live according to that standard. The third thing is I would ask people, if we could teach our kids, is to be willing to make the choice and accept sacrifice. We have a generation today, Brother Jason, that they don't really want to give up everything. What was the old expression? I want my cake and to eat it too, that type thing. But that's really not the way it works. God calls us to make sacrifice. By the way, one of the ones that we should be making is time in prayer, reading the Word of God, right? Contemplating the things that he's done for us, maybe fasting. Brother Coulter, I talked to him several months ago, and Brother Coulter is one that he doesn't do it in a way that's for any self-glory, but Brother Gary gives himself to a lot of fasting and prayer, and I know he's very good at that. He sets the bar high as an example for each one of us. But I think we need to teach our kids there are some things that we need to give up for God. There are some things that we need to move away from. As I talked to Brother Vinoy today, he was talking about the preaching there at the Wilds, and we've just been to so many services, wonderful, wonderful preaching. And what was the man talking about to the young ones? You know, they're not all 17, 18 years old. Some of these are small. They've got kind of the junior camp and the high school kind of camp, what have you. And Brother Gary, the preacher was talking to him, Brother Vinoy said, real plain about the addictions that come on him, about pornography, about the things we shouldn't see, about the lust that we have in our heart, about laying aside those sins, right, that does so easily beset us. We need to make choices that sometimes they aren't exactly what the flesh wants, because those are the ones that God wants. The fourth thing, and that I would tell you is I think we need to teach our people today, our young people, the little ones, that there's true strength that comes from God. David wrote about the blessings and about the things that the world, through its mechanisms and processes, can't give you. You realize that we're blessed. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I tell you, if you've got anything in your life that's positive, it's because He gave it to you. He is the giver of all good things. And there is a strength in walking in that faith of saying, you know, I don't exactly know how this is all going to work out, but I know that God can work it out. When I left, you know, with the retirement package, I started a little business called Red Letter Insights. And I went and saw a few people, and I thought, well, you know, maybe this is a way I can generate an income and what have you. And the door pretty quickly closed on that because I'm the clumsiest guy on the earth. And I took a fall, and I was down for about 6 months. And, you know, it was okay, right, Cindy? But really didn't have any plan. And then, Brother Gary, one day my phone rang, and it was a guy I'd known for about 20 years. He said, hey, why don't you come and help me do this? I want to start this, and you'd be the perfect guy. I travel with him all the time. He's been a blessing to me. He's not saved, and you know, let's pray that God will be able to use me to be a positive influence on him to present the gospel message. But I'm telling you that we can walk in strength when we walk in faith, saying that when the phone call needs to come in, God will have that person dial you. Amen? Brother Wayne, I don't pray that I'll be able to see everything. I pray that I'll have the faith to walk forward to it until God shows it to me. And then the fifth thing that if I could, we talk about training up our children. I hope you'll understand. I hope this one fits the list. And I should get at least one amen out of this. I think we need to teach our children that America is a great place and God has been good to us. Amen? Yesterday was Flag Day. I was outraged when I saw, you know, somebody wanted to put a 51st, you know, leave the flag alone, right? I mean, you know, the flag's good. And you see people burning the flags. I'm like, you know, hey, if you don't want to be here and love our country, let me say this to the camera, then why don't you go be someplace else? Go look outside. Go to Honduras. No offense, beautiful people there, but they want to come here. If we're going to be here, I think we need to teach our kids, our grandchildren, what have you, to love this country. Not what it can be in the future, but what it was built upon, Brother Gary. We need to go back towards that. You know, so I'm old-fashioned. I still believe in the Constitution. I still believe in innocent until proven guilty. You know, I believe I believe this is a republic. You read the words and the responsibility of the citizens. Brother Gary, if we can begin to teach the Word of God and faith and strength and what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, and the roles that God had, those things begin to lead by example, I think we're doing our very, very best to help shape those arrows that God has put in our quiver. I want to finish with this, and I am mindful of the time. I believe David wanted to protect his family. And Brother Vinoy brought a great message there on Sunday morning about David, you know, from Ziklag, right, going and getting back his two wives and all of that and the victory that God had given them. We live in a dangerous day. Somebody say amen. Check out the news. It's not just here. It's not just there. It's right here in our neighborhood. Cindy and I were driving someplace a week or two ago. And I think it was three things that we saw within 24 hours. We're like, whoa, you know, this doesn't happen in Northeast Tennessee. Here's road rage and different things just you wouldn't expect to see here. This is a beautiful place, and God's been so good to us. He's blessed us to be here. It's not always perfect. It's what God has given us, and I'm so thankful for it. But, folks, I'm telling you, you need to get it in your heart today like David did. What price would you pay to protect your family? Years ago, I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers, and he was preaching a great message, and he was talking about the calling that, you know, Jesus has called us to be sacrificial in our own life. And if you disagree with me on this, that's okay. We'll choose to disagree. And Brother Gary, he may have called me to make certain sacrifices with my life. Dr. Adrian Rogers was talking about the fact, he said, you know, you might come up and he was a big guy, you know, and push me, and I may fall over. But if you come up and push my family, I'm going to take a different response. Now, I'm not being overly proactive there, but I'm telling you that we men are called to defend our families as Jesus defended the church and gave himself for it. Amen? You may have to make that choice someday. I hope it doesn't come. But these arrows that God has placed in our quiver come with a responsibility. Mom, dad, grandparents, church leadership, we've got to step up and be the people that God has called us to be. Satan is destroying our families. Say amen. And he's doing it at record pace. And he's got people siding with destruction of the family that we just never thought we would see, you know, turn against the American home, as it were. But God is able to heal. He's able to mend. We can recognize the attacks of the oppressor. My concern, church, is I think that circumstances could get worse, maybe far worse, before they get better. Our children are a precious gift. David saw that when he wrote to Solomon. David had some children that didn't turn out quite well and suffered some severe heartbreak. I think God's been really good to us. He wanted me to bring this message. I hope it's an encouragement to you. It's not. It's timely. It's not too late for us to make a difference in the lives of the people that God has given to us, those arrows that are so precious. Shall we pray? Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to be here with Bible Way this evening. Lord, and to stand and with the greatest of strength and conviction and courage I have to bring forward this simple message. You have been so good to us. You have blessed us in ways that the world can't understand, and you've done it outside of the world's process. Lord, I ask you to give each one of us literally a unique and specific purpose. Someone in our life, Lord, someone that you've connected us with, that we might make a difference for the greatness of the kingdom of God in their life. Sometimes, Lord, that person just needs to know you as their Savior. There's nothing greater than that. Sometimes you connect us with people who need encouragement. Sometimes you connect us with people who need a little help in some way, and you usually give us the ability to satisfy that need through resources you've already given to us. Whatever it is, God, I just thank you for the church that's here tonight, for all the people. And God, I ask you to make this very personal to each one of us. You've given us arrows. What a blessing that is. Help us, Lord, to do the right things that we might be what you've called us to be in those young lives. Not to pass it on, not to wait on somebody else to do what you've called us to do. But Lord, to love our kids, to protect our families, to train them in the way that you would have them to go. Lord, we just love you tonight. We thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. These things we ask in your blessed name. Amen.